I'm so looking forward to this hour.
Well, welcome.
Looking forward to coming up.
Yes, yes. We're sorry, everybody, for the technical difficulties in getting everything started, but we make things happen. We are committed people who manifest irregardless of what circumstances come in our way. And so I have Charlie Gay on the line. My name is Danish Ahmed. I have muted all the callers temporarily, and I just want to let you guys all know, please turn off any background music. So when we do open up the lines, it doesn't interfere, and we're going to have a great 70 minutes with Charlie talking about a vision of a transformed planet. Charlie, are you ready?
I am, and says the planet.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Charlie. It's such an honor to have you here. You know, I can go through your biography for people who may not know who you are, because it is such an honor to have such a special person like you. I mean, whether we talk about the entertainment industry and working with, you know, Phil Collins and Duran Duran and Fleetwood Mac, or in philanthropy with people like Larry Jones from Feed the Children, or transformation with Marsha Martin or Jack Canfield or Mark Victor Hansen, or with in government with Margaret Thatcher or the conservative. But, you know, people in biographies drop all these sorts of names, and they give some people a lot of credibility. But what really I want to focus on, Charlie, with you and your biography is your heart. Because out of all the things you've accomplished and you've achieved, you know, what matters most is the way you've done them and why you've done them. And the way you've done and the why you've done them comes out in your passion and in your soul. Every time someone meets with you, and every time someone talks about you, and every time someone hears your voice. And that's why I was so committed to having this call. That's why I wanted, you know, the 200 people that are on the line now, whether they're on the webcast or the telephone or listen, or the thousands of people who are going to be listening to this recording afterwards, to know that it's not the plan, it's the energy. It's not the perfection, it's the drive. It's who you are, and who you are as a person who's so committed and so loving and so compassionate and so honoring and so loving the world, that it's a model I strive to achieve, and so many people are just honored to follow. So thank you, Charlie, for being who you are and being committed to what you're committed to.
Wow. Yeah. It's been an interesting journey to see whether the heart leads or the mind leads. And right now, Danish, the heart is definitely out front.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a journey that we all happen to deal with as we go through life, as we're born in the fruit of the spirit of our heart. And yet, often we tread into the minefield of our mind through judgment. And then once we're awake to that, it's a great opportunity for us to release ourselves from the judgment and go back to the heart. And, you know, I've always been heartfelt. I've always cried out from within my heart, even as a child. And it's got me into areas that sometimes were maligned and misunderstood, and sometimes were dangerous, and sometimes there was conflict. But it's always been a refining process. And I believe that the heart takes me down deeper and deeper, and then I come up, and it's a bit like the silver and the smith and the dross. You clear it up, and then you go back down again, and you clear it up, and you go back down, and every time I get to see a heart that's more pure, both in myself and in the people around me in the world. So it's quite intentional.
Wow, beautiful. I want everyone on this call to know that, you know, since there's 200 people on this call and about 100 of you gave me your questions, obviously we won't be able to answer every single question in detail, but I do want you to know that through my questions, I've summarized and kind of put the questions into different categories. So most, if not all, of your questions will be answered. And I believe that spiritually that they all will be answered. Listen for your answer. Whatever question you asked, I'm sure that Charlie or I will articulate something in a way that addresses your concern or your desire. And so look for that as I go through asking the questions throughout the 70 minutes. And Charlie, you mentioned something that's something that I went through as well when I was growing up. But I was noticing all these things in the world, in my life, that I did not like, that I thought could be better, that I wanted to change, that I want to transform. And so I went on this mission of trying to make that happen. Inside of that understanding, I realized that it's not about saving the world, it's about serving the world. This is one of the distinctions that you brought to me was, you know, the world doesn't need saving, the world needs serving. And that's what you do, you know, and that's the kind of the world that we want to paint first, that the world's not broken. There's nothing wrong. It's beautiful and it's perfect just the way it is. And now can we come together in community and serve it so it becomes better and better. But the question people ask, and the most significant question that came up when I brought this idea to people, because I got so excited, Charlie. You know, when I was going through my whole life looking for an answer, and there wasn't really an answer. They were just all about, you know, the small answers about smiling to people, making a difference, and one small difference leads to another, which is all true. But I didn't have a game plan to, you know, solve a major problem like eliminate world poverty. And when I found out that there was an architecture for that, I jumped up and down and I wanted to go share it with everybody. You know, imagine there's a solution to eliminate hunger for everybody in the world. I want to share it with everybody. I'm so excited, and I go and I share, and people resist, and they don't want to hear it, or they can't hear it, or they don't believe it. And so that's the question that was posed to me that I want to, and to you, Charlie. So I want to, that's the first question that everybody has for you is, how is this really possible? Is it possible? Isn't this a pipe dream? Aren't there too many things that are messed up in the world right now? Or do you really, really, really have a solution that could eliminate world poverty?
Well, it's a great question, and I have great empathy for anyone who asks the question because it's been bandied around for years. You know, Bob Geldof in 1984 did Band-Aid and Make Poverty History has been a banner for the last 20 to 30 years. But let's just look. Those people ask that question. Let's look at where we are at the planet today as opposed to last year, as opposed to 5 years ago. Don't even go back even further than that. Where we are today is we're at a place where we're beginning to celebrate the diversity of who we are. What I mean by that is that although we have been giving, for instance, from the north to Africa, which one would say is a place where world poverty happens, or India or Pakistan, we've been giving to those places. And in some ways, those places have been just cap in hand receiving in the day. And they have not really had the ability to think about tomorrow, and you all know about population crises and things like that, and you say, okay, there's more mouths to feed, we just keep giving, it's not working. So I have great empathy with the question. But the reality is that today is a different day to even a few months ago, or even a few years ago. Because where we're giving to, in Africa, for instance, there is now tremendous both receiving and also giving back. What I mean by that is that these countries that one sees as poverty countries, and they are poverty-stricken countries, are actually very, very intentional in the spirit that's in the fabric of the country. So, for instance, Liberia or even Rwanda. Rwanda, 3 years ago, had an average income of $300 a year. Today, it's $1,500, between $1,200 and $1,500. And that's happened in 3 to 4 years. Imagine being in Toronto and thinking your average income was $40,000 and then knowing that in 3 years' time it was going to be $120,000. Liberia went through 20 years of genocidal war, and now the ex-head of the World Economic Forum, President Sirleaf, the first female president, there are more girls going to colleges than boys. You're talking about countries where there's fertility, where there is, you're talking about countries now which understand permaculture and where rice is being grown in particular ways because education is far greater today than it's ever been. And then you're talking about a subject matter where all along there was enough. We just were not circulating enough to places of scarcity. So if you look at it in that context, and then you look at the context that we are here to co-create and celebrate the diversity, and there are a lot of judgments now that have been broken down. We just had a president-elect within the United States who's African-American. A year ago, maybe a mayor, maybe a vice president, maybe a secretary of state. But that has gone forever. That baggage on people's back of black and white, even though it's still a rock on so many people's because they don't understand that it's there. But the reality is that the generations are shifting as we go through. So anything that could have been a question a few years ago is not even the question today. It's a very different question because the playing field and the status of the world is very different. Then, from an economic standpoint, Danish, you know, we eat $49 billion worth of ice cream, and it's a statistic, it's a known statistic, that if we spent just $10 billion on producing food, that every person on the planet would be fed. So the bottom line is, I could come at you with statistics from finance, or I could come at you with the fact that the world is in a very different place than any other time in our lifetime or any other lifetime, and give you the answer of absolutely yes. People like Michael Bernard Beckwith and Charlie Gay and Danish Ahmed absolutely believe that making poverty history is possible with the right new paradigm of business and the giving and receiving model.
So then this leads perfectly into the next question people have, which is then how do they cause, or how do we help them cause that shift in themselves, which gets them to believe it, which gets them to say, you know, rather than me thinking that I don't have enough money to give to a charitable cause, how do I commit myself to making a commitment, you know, a $99 commitment a month when I have trouble feeding myself? How do I get out of that duality or that catch-22 of being stuck and not knowing how I'm going to get the money to give to a charity?
Another excellent question. And a lot of people that would look at Hub or look at Humanity United's Brilliance would see it as a donor model. And I think I heard it in the question, you know, giving. You know, I can't afford to give because I can't afford to give to myself. How can I afford to give to anyone else? That is the wrong way of entering into an organization like this. It's not about can you afford to give and then recognize that you can't afford to give and you cut back. The economic climate of the world would show that. This is a business. This is a business of community where we all come together and shine our brilliance and support each other to be the best we can be, which can be of any value that we can decide that we want to put on that. This is a place where we're educated and empowered. This is a place where, yes, we have that humanitarian impact into the world, and we have it into our own hearts. And as a result of sharing that in that way, the income generation becomes very, very simple. The reality is that if we'd spent, say, the $99 a month for the last 12 months in the stock market, it would have been the greatest risk and the greatest loss that anyone would have had. The reality is of spending $1,300 in a stock market for the last year, knowing that you have the opportunity of having an upside to that, even if you were earning $101 from the 99, and receiving the community, and receiving the education and the empowerment, and knowing that you're having the impact into the world, wouldn't anyone want to do that?
I think everybody would want to do that, and so that takes us to the next question, which people have. Well, because a lot of people will feel that way, they'll feel like, yes, I want to do this. I can be aligned to this vision. I can commit my time and my energy to this vision. But I am not able to enroll anybody else. Every time I talk to somebody, they don't get it. And if they don't get it, how is this going to ever work?
Another Danish and everyone that's on this call. These are superb questions. And again, thank you very much for this question because, you know, let's look at the model of sharing or the business of network marketing, which we chose. Remember, we're a community, we're an educational empowerment company, we're an impact company, and we recognized that network marketing was the ideal and only model that would circulate dollars, that would allow us to put into the field, shift from the giving into the receiving for ourselves, and also in Africa from the receiving to the giving, also recognizing that every cent of a network marketing model is transparent because it's growth. 40% goes into the field, very clear. 40% and the impact programs are very clear. 40% is defined through the different elements of the matrix to go back to the members. That's very, very clear. It's a gross clarity circulation. All of those things are absolutely essential for the new paradigm of new emerging businesses. And thank God, in our business, a dollar is a dollar. It's not $1,000, not 100% no money down mortgages. It is what it is. And so, to go back to the question, Danish, in network marketing, if you're in a room and you say to people, how many of you have been in network marketing? And, you know, you normally see about a fifth of the hands go up, 20 out of 100. And then you say, well, how many of you have had a bad experience? And you normally have about 17 of them go up. And then you say, how many of them have had a good experience? You normally have about three or four go up. Probably in Danish's world, it would be a little bit more because he's a master internet marketer and he knows how to support his community. But often people come in because they are taught that there is significance in an organization. And so the significance in a normal network marketing company is you have to sell a galvanic spa, you have to sell vitamins, or you have to sell whatever it is that the network marketing model is as a product. And if you do that, you become significant, and you're promoted, and you're shown to be good. Hub is about promoting the insignificant. Hub is about promoting the brilliance that is inside each of us. Hub is about promoting a Pakistani white albino person living in Toronto to be the best he can be, or anyone that is on this call to be the very, very best that they can be, and then to co-create. So, when you go back to that question that Danis asked, and you say, well, I'm going out and I'm speaking to people about it, I'm going to pose the question, what are you actually asking them? What are you saying? Are you saying, you know, do you want to be in a network marketing company and make lots of money? Because that may not be the right approach to make, because they've heard that approach a lot of times, and many of them are scared. But if you go and listen to this call and really hear the heartbeat and know the heartbeat of what Hub is about, and recognize that the opportunity exists on so many levels to create benefit for the person that you're speaking to, and know that that person at the end of the day is probably looking now not for a massive residual income over the next couple of years, because network marketing has changed its paradigm, Danish, in the last couple of years. A few years ago, people would promote the opportunity for massive residual income, and they would show a Rolls Royce or a big boat or an arrow, you know. None of those things, of course, are compatible with Humanity United's brilliance anyway, because the impact that comes in, yes, I'm sure that people will benefit, but heck, most people are putting their own commissions into their social entrepreneur endeavors. So we actually don't put 40% into the field. We really put 80% in the field. 40% goes in from us, and I know that 40% is going to you guys to figure out exactly what you want to do with it, and you're amazing people. And you are social entrepreneurs, which is the biggest buzzword in the history of the world right now, because there are millions of people that are ready for your social entrepreneurship to give them the gift and opportunity of what we're sharing about. So really, Danish, without knowing how people are posing the question to other people, because there are people in our business that have thousands of people that are enrolling personally hundreds of people. So really, I believe it's in the question that the individual is asking, the way that they're approaching other individual targets to ask, and how they then respond to the way that people will first say, well, if it's network marketing, I don't want to be involved. It comes down to deep training from you and me, Danish, from our team. It comes down to creating more and more wins around our community. It comes down to being in community. So it's a tricky question to answer.
Well, I love it. Even though it's a tricky question to answer, you answered it phenomenally, Charlie. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, this is not scripted. I had a couple of these questions. Charlie didn't know what they were, and he just telling me the answers, telling us the answers off the cuff, which is, I believe, the most authentic and transparent way to be. And I love that answer, Charlie, and actually it brought my attention to something that's really powerful. Another point about Hub, which, and there's points about our movement, not just about Hub, but who we are as a community that come up all the time that are brand new, and one just you made me conscious of now, is that not 40% of the money goes into the field, 80% does. 40% goes into humanitarian works, and 40% goes into our social entrepreneurial network of people like you and me who take that income and put it back into our businesses, whether we're holistic healers or energy therapists or do hypnosis or we are an author or we're a motivational speaker. We're taking that income and we're putting it back into good works. That is 80% of the money going into the field.
Absolutely.
And wow. And another thing that I think is important to mention is because, like you mentioned, you know, other people are very successful. Other at Hub, you know, I'm friends with Alan, and he's building a big business out in Calgary. And so we know it's working for some people. We may have not perfected the model, but one of the people in my group, actually, Julius Coe, once asked me a question. He said, if you could only give me one point, the most important point about becoming successful, what would it be? And without hesitation, I said to him, don't ever give up. And I say the truth with anyone who wants to become successful at Hubber is stay on the calls. Even if you don't get it now, get onto the next conversation, get onto the next teleseminar, be at our event on May 30th and meet Charlie live and get his energy personally. Ask him if your question hasn't been answered now, make sure you're there, Toronto, May 30th, and ask him the question yourself. Make sure it gets answered because that's what we're here for. We want to be totally open and transparent and authentic and commit to your dreams and your passions in life, not just being part of Hub, but being the catalyst that takes your personal vision, your personal passions, and manifests them into the world. All right, let me go on to the next question, Charlie. This is a really interesting one. And the question has to do with all the association that Hub has. There's people who said, you know, if you're connected to Richard Branson and if you're connected to people who have lots of wealth and have done really well in the world, then why don't you just take their resources and their wealth and put them into the system? Why do you need a lot of people paying $99 when you can have fewer people, you know, paying $9,000 or $90,000 or $900,000?
That's another great question, and I love the format that we have here, Dan. These are searching, strong questions and come from real passionate people. Two answers to that off the top of the head. The first is that Richard Branson was a patron of the nonprofit I was executive director of, as you know, down in Africa, and along with Nelson Mandela, along with his wife and Brad Pitt and John Paul Nazario, Paul Mitchell and Queen Noor. And we were doing passionate work to do with landmine removal. We could even prove to the world that we could reduce the price from $1,000 to $3. Some of us are pretty effective in our businesses and our marketing. Brad Pitt is pretty effective at getting our media attention behind things. You know how much money we raised in a year? $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah, we were absolutely pathetic at raising money for nonprofit, and most nonprofits are not very good at raising money. And for the reason is, this is the first part. There's a second part, which is more underlying. The first part is that everyone thought exactly what this question is. If Richard Branson has the resources, and he does, but they're limited, they're finite. Brad Pitt has the resources. Yes, he has, but they're limited and they're finite. He only makes $20 million a picture. He can only do two or three pictures a year. Heck, we need $10 billion to make poverty history. So Brad Pitt's not going to do that by himself. And nor is Richard. And Mandela is 90 years old. He doesn't need to stress about money and how to find money. Then if you think about the United Nations or the World Bank that take people into areas, they're really not being very effective at the moment. And then there's the second underlying factor is that anyone who asks that question is basically buying into the scarcity model that has brought this world to its knees. that a very few people have manipulated the resources of, and I'm not talking about my patrons here, who are really good people in that organization. But the financial models of this world have been manipulated by very few people. And the significant people have made themselves more significant. And as I'm sharing on this call, it is we the people. It is the insignificant becoming significant that shifts this world. It is not from the top down. It is never from the top down will this world shift. It has to come from the brilliance that is inside every single person. Now that's my heart. My heart is the immigrants that came into to the United States, for instance, with five children and a suitcase, and yet they came in with skills. They came with the ability of being entrepreneurs, of sharing their trades. They came in with the natural selling capabilities of just being passionate about what their skills were from Eastern Europe or wherever they came in from. And that's where we are on the planet now, of sharing our brilliance together and shifting. Now, are there people out there that are looking at doing it differently? Yes, and good luck to them.
Excellent. Wow. And those people out there who are doing it differently may be able to some way to collaborate with Hub, and we may able to work together in some capacity.
Oh, great point, Dennis. And again, if the question was, Charlie, why would you not go to Brad Pitt or Richard Branson or whatever, that's another good question. I'll pose it myself back into the call. How great it is that in the first year, and this is going to progress a little bit more, that the brilliance of Harvard, the model, and the individuals that have come together, that have been able to put the impact into the field, and multiple impact programs now in Liberia and Kenya, like 12 programs happening simultaneously right now in Liberia, schools being opened in July. And incredible things are happening that we don't even yet quite have on the website, Danish, as usual. We're a bit behind on that. But incredible impact that's going into the field. And if, I'm going to pose the question, if I brought Brad Pitt in, not saying that he would have come in, but if I brought Brad Pitt in or Cher or someone into Hub a year ago, how would we be viewing the success of the organization? Based on the back of the star, with the media people, let's say I have 5,000 members, which we closely have, and we have Cher or Brad Pitt. Would the media pay attention to the 5,000 of us, or the fact that a star was propelling this thing? The critical aspect of building a heartbeat, of a movement, of a time where we the people come together, has to have that clear heartbeat and focus. And yes, it could have been easier. It could have been a lighter path that some of us would have had to travel if there's a star around. But this is a business for a new paradigm. And it is a time like this where there are, in fact, millions of people like you and I on this call that are ready to receive the call. So if we create a structure that is so clear, and of course this first year, there hasn't been total clarity. You know, there isn't clarity in all sorts of things that we look to try to do, because we do it as the best we can, and then we bring in more and more people, and we do it better. But the heartbeat of this organization and where we're going with it is as clear, if not clearer today than it was when it was first voiced. It's clearer because of all the people around.
Wow, it is a model that works, and we've seen it work. We've raised over $1 million, and we've made it happen. And it is so it makes me proud to say I'm associated with an organization that was able to accomplish that in its first year. Now, some people have a concern about local impact. That this is great for a world vision, but I want to make an impact locally. How can I do that, or how does Hub facilitate me making a difference or eliminating poverty on a local level?
The simplest of the questions so far, and one of the most relevant, is you go and share it into your community, because people say, well, it's okay to feed into Africa, but what about our own streets? So, a great question. Two things are happening. One is that, by the way, as you know, in the United States, we did the single largest food drop in the history of this whole country at Christmas. Why? Because we didn't have the cash in the pocket. Why? Because we didn't have the resources in a warehouse. But what did we have? We had community. We had Convergence Hearts. So we were able to bring together Salvation Army that had the locations, together with Feed the Children that had the trucks and the food, together with companies that were going bankrupt and had 40,000 frozen chickens one day in Atlanta that we were able to pick up in trucks and drive to Los Angeles 2 days later to give out. And then we had Shaquille O'Neal, of course, and the NBA, and we were able to carry out a food drop, and Avon provided $150 personal care items because Feed the Children has an office that's just constantly looking for items that are becoming surplus or can be picked up from companies that don't need it anymore, whether they've gone bankrupt or surplus. So we were able to carry out that. So, you know, and I know Alan in Calgary has done local community work, and we work very closely in Calgary now with the Drop-In Center, which is probably the finest homeless shelter, one of them in the world, on the banks of the river there where it's minus 40 degrees, and I know you have the same in Toronto. So we are doing local work. Why? Not because of corporate office, because corporate office couldn't do that. It's because of the local members are saying, hey, we get this, we're in community, let's come together in our own town, let's work together with the center. So there's nothing stopping you tomorrow, anyone on this call, coming together in your community and doing that work as hubbies. Secondly, we recognized, and this is the simple answer for the future, we recognized that the first stage of the entity was to put these impact programs into Africa, get them clear. You know the story of feeding three, educating three, providing fresh water for 10, land eco self-sustainment. You know the partners like Kimmy Weeks and Larry Jones that Feed the Children. You know what we've done in the slums of Kibera, feeding the primary school down there and the women of Koch, and the microloan programs that are birthing down there. You know all of that. So that's a story and a clear testimony and credibility that you can tell the field as you build out your groups. But now, as we grow from this number, we internally are going to move on and change our system where 50% of the impact will stay in the local country and 50% of the impact will go global into Africa or Ecuador. It can't happen today, be very clear, and be very, very clear what I'm saying today. Don't get on the call and say 50% to people and say 50% of Hub's impact is coming into Toronto. It's not. But what the company's corporate leadership meeting last week was that we are, as we grow, because we can't take away from what we're already impacting into. We can't just suddenly say, you know, to Africa, we're going to take half of this away and give it somewhere else. So we have to keep growing the membership. But as we grow the membership, 50% is going to stay local as you grow your communities in Toronto and across Canada, and 50% will go global. Is that clear, Danish?
Yeah, that's very clear, well said, and it's very inspiring. And I think, you know, one point that I get, which I want everyone on the call to understand as well, is that we are at the pioneering stage, and which is such a huge blessing because we get to help mold and shape and co-create as to what Hub will look like in the future. And so part of that are things that are going to come, like Charlie described, like this local and global distinction that will happen soon. And to have faith that things like that are going to come along. And in the meantime, we can also...
Oh, Dallas, can I just underline one point? Because it's a really important point that actually will help grow the business and the community in Toronto and across Canada. I'm just going to give you an example because the proof is always in the pudding. And the example I'm going to give you is where I'm speaking to you from right now, which is Boise, Idaho. So I came to Boise, Idaho to do my first Hub Igniter about 2 months ago, and there were 15 to 20 people in the room. Of that, probably about five signed up immediately, recognized what they were doing. There was someone from outside of Boise who brought me into the Boise community that was a hub member out of San Diego, being on one of the purposing trips. I came back last night, and there were 60 to 70 people in the room, including the head of one of the largest Unity Church here. During the day yesterday, I was taken to the Interfaith Sanctuary that's responsible for the homeless down here. And there are No Frills facility that actually has an overhead of about $5,000 a month. That's it. Sorry, $5,000 a week. That's it. They have over 400 people that sleep in this particular location every night, men, women, and families. Well, if you hear what I'm saying, the community here now is buzzing. The next time I come back, I'm coming with a musician artist called Daniel Namod. There's going to be about 300 to 400 people here. And then the following February, I'm coming back probably with Michael Beckwith and some other people. And they have an infrastructure now where they can grow out. But their intent on having enough people in this community to be members of Hub so that in 2 months' time, they will be inputting into the Interfaith Sanctuary. So they have a goal as they go forward and have meetings. And as they grow a community out, and, you know, if you grow a community out and you have 500 or 400 or 300 members, we know what revenue streams are there. And now as we move into the 50% local, 50% global type model, it would just make sense for us to say, okay, let's fund this in Toronto that you bring forward as a community. Then, on top of that, you as a community then go and do way more for that facility, just like Alan and the people are in Calgary with the drop-in center, or Ron Owen and David and Ingrid Hertz are doing in Phoenix with the Human Service Campus, or just like we did as a community with Lynn Twist and Patramama. We brought it to last year's June event for Actioning. We gave Patramama $5,000 a month. But our community came and said, we want to do more than this, and they gave them $275,000 in an hour and a half. So community is way more than just saying, waiting for Hub to say, okay, let's do an impact program in Toronto. Bring it on. Who's ever on this call, bring it on. Danish can field it. I'll be up there in 2 weeks' time. Let's identify an impact program. Let's blow out Toronto. Let's have hundreds of members. And let's be doing an impact program in Toronto in a few months' time. There's nothing to stop us.
Wow, that is so inspiring. This is such a beautiful thing about Hub. And, you know, when we do events, whether they're in Los Angeles or San Francisco or when we're in Calgary or when we're going to do one in 2 weeks in Toronto, we are all connected to a local charity. We're always helping people locally, and we're making that happen. And that's all initiated by people, by members, by people like you, members on the call who all step up to the plate and take that leadership role. And so that's always available inside of the Hub infrastructure. And Hub will support you. We'll give you the resources to help you. Charlie will fly in for you. I mean, what an honor. You know, Charlie didn't choose Toronto to fly into. I chose, and I said, Charlie's going to fly here, and I committed to having 100 people in a room so that Charlie would fly here. And whatever aspect you want to create in the world, Hub is a great way of connecting to it and leveraging from it and contributing to a humanitarian model that totally, totally does work for everybody.
And Toronto is a city, be very clear, and I know a lot of you have traveled around the world or around North America. I know that Toronto is a city for the new emerging paradigm. It's a city that is necessitating the celebration of diversity of its cultures. I know that Africans are coming into Toronto. I know that you know exactly what is so great about your city. And you also know the issues that are inside of the city. And so it is a phenomenal city to come into. And I have always taken the challenge, just like Danish and just like you have on the call, to move forward. Nothing matters. I don't need to be heard that there's 1,000 people in a room to come to Toronto. I don't need to be told that there's a number. I just need to know that I know what I just shared. And I have the commitment to support the people to be the best that they can be in their own community. Now, the result is that we grow out a thriving hub community. That's fantastic, but this is way deeper than that. This is about this time on the planet, in our own lives, and we have to come together. And Toronto is an amazing epicenter of a city in the world, and you should be shining. You should be shining that light around the world.
Absolutely, and thank you for that, Charlie. I'm so committed. If you just want, I want to share my vision with you, Charlie, and everyone who's on the call. That, you know,
absolutely,
2 weeks when Charlie comes here, that's going to be the start. I want Charlie to come here on a regular basis. I want those meetings to be bigger and better. I want in a couple of years to be for us to be at a dome and for us to take people in our community, people who are on this call, people who are listening right now. Whether you're an energy healer or whether you're a speaker with a story or whether you're just passionate in your art, that I want you to help us co-create that event. So that you're on stage, like Isaac is on stage this time, and Gary and Arya Deepwater, and I was even talking to Tina Packer, and she might even be doing some Zenith energy healing. So we want to just work, and you might have heard a lot of names dropped, by the way, of charities and nonprofits. And the way that Hub works is that we're not a charity or nonprofit. We fund and are the economic engine that feeds all the different charities and nonprofits. So you've been hearing a lot of names, and if this is the first call you've been on, you might be a little confused as to how all that kind of works together. So I welcome you to go to the HubHub website after the call. It's www.hubhub.org, H-U-B-H-U-B.org. And if you're passionate about what you've heard so far, click on the Join Now and join our cause, and then you'll get updates in a newsletter about all our events and everything that we're up to. And if you're interested in the event on Saturday, May the 30th in Toronto, make sure you go to hubhub.eventbrite.com, hubhub.eventbrite.com, hubhub.eventbrite.com. That's the website where you can register. And by the way, if you're on the teleseminar page, you can just click on the bottom right button that says Meet Charlie in Toronto. And that's a way of staying connected with us. Make sure you go to the, if you haven't been before, to the hubhub.org website. I'll mention that at the end of the call as well. I want to move on to the next question here, Charlie, and this kind of brings us in an interesting way, a full circle, because at the beginning of the call, I mentioned how some people were resistant to the possibility of eliminating world poverty because it was so daunting, it was so big, it was so overwhelming, and they didn't see it as possible, so they didn't have that belief. And with the statistics, with the stories, with the understanding, with the awareness, with the energy, with the community, we can have people see the possibility of that, and so many and many more people are seeing the possibility of becoming awake to that transformed vision that's going to make such a difference in our humanity. Sometimes I'm in conversation with people, and some of the questions that I got on the website were sometimes people then jump from one polarity to the opposite extreme. They go from not believing to saying, oh, wow, there are so many organizations out there. Hub is doing so well. You're so committed. You're going to make it happen. You're going to do it. I know it's going to happen. I know the world's going to change for the better. Thank you so much for doing it. I can't help you. I'm just going to do my own thing. But I believe you and I trust you in making it all happen. And so what do you do with people? I guess you don't do anything, but how do you be with people who say they believe it in it so much but don't want to put in the energy to co-create it?
Again, an interesting question, and I'm listening to it, trying to pick up on the energy as well of where that type of response would come from. Because often, as you know, as everyone knows on the call, it's what's behind a sentence like that that one looks at as well. On the surface, I can say that I'd like to know of another organization that's doing this thing. In other words, this thing is creating an economic engine, an economic model, regardless of the community, regardless of our own personal education, regardless of the impact and whether the impact is right or wrong, where it's going, how it's getting there. But the actual economic model is a very unique one that provides sustained giving to the nonprofits that are doing their thing. So the question is, what is the thing that someone would look to do? Because HUB is inevitably able to support it. Remember, if you look at all the impact programs that we're doing, they were both doing their own thing before HUB came along. And now they're also grateful that we did come along. We're inclusive, not exclusive. So again, that question comes from one of competition rather than one of cooperation. HUB is about cooperation. So people bring their thing into HUB and their thing grows because of the energy of the HUB members, because of the love of the heart of the HUB members, because of the irrevocable skill sets and talents of the HUB members, and because of the income generation, both from their own positioning in the HUB matrix, and if they were doing their thing really, really well, just like Kimmy Weeks is doing his thing really, really well in Liberia, they become an impact partner. So that's sort of the answer to that question. I see it as one of shifting that from competition to how do we do this together? Because unless that person was actually creating a model that was exactly the same as HUB, which is absolutely unique on this planet at this time, then there is no reason why that thing that they're doing shouldn't be part of HUB.
Wow, absolutely bang on. And I've articulated that to many people. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. And I think that you work on articulating it to the listening of the people you're with and learn to relate it to them. And if they get it, beautiful. And if they don't, you can't get stuck on it. That you just got to continue sharing the vision, because you don't need other people's validation to justify your vision. All you need is to look into your heart to see whether that vision is authentic and real and powerful.
You're absolutely right, Danish, and you share it from being the heart traveler that you are.
Here's a question that's interesting. Some people have asked, you say you have a blueprint for world poverty. How do you know it's really going to work? Is it guaranteed?
Well, similar question to the one I answered already, overlapping answers in some ways. Guarantee, big word, very, very big word. It's like perfection. What is perfection? Because perfection is often attached to a result. Both the future and the past. So guarantee. Well, let's just look at the statistics again. Regardless of HUB, if we as a community had enough members or the world had enough members, perhaps we wouldn't be spending $1 trillion on arms, $1 trillion on arms, to protect ourselves from ourselves, which we do every year. If we spend 17 billion, which is only 3.5 days spent in the year, every child would be educated, and another 10 billion on food. So we spent 27 billion between education and food, every child would have primary education and every person would be fed. These are stats that are not our stats, by the way, Danish. They're stats in books and journals and just the assessment of the world. The assessment that there is enough, we're just not moving enough to the places of need. And so the guarantee has to be taken off. The guarantee has to be taken off with are we ready to move into circulation and the celebration of the diversity of who we are? Because we've all got the trades. We've all got the skills. There's enough resources out there. The question is, are we ready to move into that? So making poverty history is a very, very simple thing to do if we're changing the paradigm of business from the old to the new. Now, Michael Beckwith, I got to interview Michael Beckwith the other day for a TV show that the two of us are doing every 3 months, Dan, if you haven't seen it yet, called Global Shift. It follows on from the phone calls we did in April. And I think everyone may know who Michael Beckwith is on this call. He's Oprah's Best Life Ever coach this year, head of a spiritual community called Agape, and was in The Secret. And I asked Michael, you know, what does the world look like in the next 5 years? And he says that the old is still trying to hold on. This isn't easy. This isn't necessarily comfortable, but it is the challenge of who we are on the planet today. The new emerging paradigm that you're hearing on this call in business and the way that we're communicating and where the world is going to and the celebration of its diversity and the fact that 200 million women, I mean, let's just face it, 200 million of the poorest women in the world are on microloan programs as we speak. A few years ago, there was zero. So 200 million of the 2 billion that are living on less than $1 a day. The women that we have in Hub, you know, they're now not only getting circulating money back for the bracelets they're making down in the slums, but because of the money, they're able to buy the school uniforms, Danish. They're able to buy their own food, even though we were supplying food to them through a new food program with Feed the Children. And so it's the circulation. If we open ourselves up to circulation and creativity and recognizing that there is enough, then yes, the answer is making poverty history is guaranteed. It's how we approach it is the critical question.
Excellent. I want to put in a question of my own here, Charlie, and my question is, what would you say to people to encourage them to not only attend, commit to attending, but to enroll their family and friends to coming to the May 30th event in Toronto? Why is that so important?
Well, I think it's a catalyst of something that's happening. It's a catalyst for something that's happening in the city. There is a lot of things that are happening in your community right now. You're probably aware of many of them. And it's time to come together and to create the impulse and the pulse back into what we're doing in the city. The benefits are you're going to be part of community, other people, and it's so easy to use the word community, but Hub has tremendous wins and credibility and testimonials in the community already. And so community is there. You're obviously going to get insights during the time that you didn't have before you went. So even if you spend just a few hours with us, you know, you could be transformed from an educational standpoint. The way that you lived your life and the way you come out of that seminar and the way you're going to live your life could be completely altered. You absolutely, and I guarantee that you'll hear yourself more clearly and you will know better in the next second. You may have spent thousands of dollars doing things, trying to find things, trying to seek things, trying to take on the next piece of technology. Everything we're sharing about here designed to support you to be the best you could be, not for a week, but for your entire lifetime. So there is absolutely that. And then, of course, the impact. You're going to come and you're going to feel good. You're going to feel good. You're going to have fun. You're going to meet people that you enjoy being with. And it's going to be a memorable day. So all of those reasons, Danish, would make me, if I was in Toronto, compelled to be with me and with you and everyone else that's going to be there.
Awesome. And if you're listening to the recording of this call that's after May 30th, just go to hubhub.org and look up, click events and look at what the upcoming events are in your area, because whatever events coming up that Hub is producing, I can tell you it's going to be transformational and just life-changing. And here's why. Because I've been in personal development since I was 14 years old. And, you know, there's lots of different modalities that have emerged. And my opinion is that all modalities work. They just work for different people. And the trick is to find the modality that works for you. And that has been my strategy over the years, and it has totally worked. And some people, you know, many modalities work with them, and some people, they need to find the perfect one. It's very difficult for them to relate or be aligned with a particular modality. What Hub does, and what's so different about Hub compared to most other personal development programs, is rather than being attached to one or two or three modalities, we provide an atmosphere where we give you access to as many modalities as possible. So on May 30th, we have the president of the Numerology Institute of Canada talking about numerology. Arya Deepwater is the president of Love Threshold, and she's going to be talking about relationships. Gary Gralley is going to be talking about the purpose of your life. We're going to have Victor Kroll do entertainment. And I'm going to be speaking, talking about my story of overcoming adversity. And so everyone, and then we have an energy healer. And so we're, and a Tarek, he's a hypnotherapist who's going to be contributing as well. So, and at every event, there's different modalities of different people. They're just people in our community, people like you, people who are on the phone on these calls who want to share their talents and their loves and their passions in life with the world. And this gives them an opportunity, a marketplace, a community to share that with people who not only have a listening for it, but who also have a community of their own that they can leverage and expose them to. So we've had so many stories of people, some people, honestly, who haven't even become Hub members, some people who just decided as a guest to go to a Hub event, and at that Hub event, not being a Hub member, they met another person who was not a Hub member, and it was, they kicked it off. It was a great connection. It was a great business relationship. It was a great personal relationship. The stories we hear are endless. In fact, I've come to a point where I feel that this is a spiritual place, a spiritual vortex of connection where people come from all walks of life, but with one common purpose, and that is for a transformed planet. And if you're on this call, I know that something in your heart has ignited that vision, and I just encourage you, and I know Charlie encourages you, to take action, and the universe likes speed. The universe likes speed, so if you're available, or if you're not available May 30th, make sure you clear your schedule and see Charlie in Toronto. I tell you, being with this man will change your life. It will give you a new sense of compassion for the world and a new sense of honor for humanity. And by the way, Friday night, Charlie and I are going to a musical called Shift, and we welcome you to come and be entertained with some inspirational entertainment with us there as well.
Danish, what's the cost?
The cost for the entire day, Saturday, May 30th, is $10. We just want to cover our costs. And in fact, we want to do better than that. We want you to attend free. So for anyone who was on this call, you get two free tickets. If you're listening to my voice right now, you get two free tickets. Go to hubhub.eventbrite.com and just choose the second ticket, which is free, and encourage your friends to attend, and we just want to cover our costs. It's going to be a beautiful, phenomenal day.
Extraordinary.
We only have about 10 minutes left, so I want to close up the call here, Charlie. Thank you so much for your time, your vision, your inspiration. What are some of the tools and technologies that people can look forward to that are coming in the next months to 4 or 5 months that we can be inspired about that are really going to revolutionize Hub? And one of the people mentioned televised shows. Are you going to have any infomercials or anything like that to support the Hub community?
Great question. I can answer it based on what I know is coming through and what is very achievable because it's coming over the next few weeks. The first is the long-awaited circle. We build a social community with eHarmony's platform provider, a company called Pringo. I believe that it's going to be populated and beta tested in the next couple of days at a very deep level. I love what I've seen so far, Danish and everyone on this call. We've put a lot of work into it. We've got a number of project teams that have been working on it. So our own social community launches. And it has tremendous resources to build local hubs. Circles of Brilliance is part of that. It's stage one. Unlike many technologies, Danish knows about this. It's version one before version two, before version three. We'll be working on probably about 50% of the capacity of what Pringo is providing us in the palette of products. And we're really excited about that. In fact, we see it as the hub of Hub. We even will be putting the back office through the circle, Danish. You'll all be able to communicate your resources, your desires through the circle, through your own pages. And it really is the connectivity of the company. It's the heartbeat and the pulse that we talk about. So that's top of mind. Second is, that, we have obviously a stronger back office that's been designed to support members in their environment. We have a series of products that are coming through the global marketplace that I feel will really stimulate meetings. I'm going forward to host Friday evening meetings quite soon, once a month. I've been traveling the country, and I've seen community gathering. For instance, last Friday, there were six artists in Marin County, and then I spoke at someone's house, and there were over 100 people there. It is what hub's about, community. So how great would it be for us to meet once a month on a Friday and meet in our local communities and then connect through like a mobulous channel, Danish, or an internet channel that allows us to provide the messaging of that month in a sort of similar infomercial-type format. And so inside of these meetings, you'll have the opportunity to have products for good as packages to sell, a bit like Tupperware. And we have a number of new products that are coming online which are relevant to our total package. Solar, for instance, is way more advanced and solar energy in Liberia right now than it is in America or Northern America, because there is no electricity in Liberia. And so the solar advances that are happening, we have a product called Tough Stuff, another one called Sunshine Box that I think you know was made by Kim Vaness in Canada, but the first 250 have been sold. We have various solar products that we feel America will want to purchase for themselves. They'll definitely want to purchase and receive the commissions on for Africa. We have more enhanced products that are coming through in packages. So there'll be party packages to sell out of that and revenue streams that will be boosted inside the global marketplace. We're all very excited about the marketplace, and that definitely is going to get more definition as we go along. I think that our curriculum, and as you know, in the last few months, we've shifted into a wealth, wisdom, and wealth impact curriculum. And we have the highest level of faculty leaders communicating through that. That is continually going to be enhanced, not necessarily in the caliber of the speakers, because the speakers are the highest caliber, but in the way that we deliver. At the moment, as you know, we deliver through teleconferences. The people like Danish, myself, and others that are looking at various applications that will provide the delivery in a stronger way. Right now, I love the fact that you can take a call inside Wealth, Wisdom, and World Impact in the Hubby Academy, and you can take an archive, and you can go to the RSS feed, and within 10 seconds, it could be downloading into your iPod. So you can do that. You know that, don't you, Danish? That you can take anything from the Hubby Academy and just download it, which is like learn and burn. So I think the application, the delivery mechanism of our education is going to improve even more. I also believe that we're going to have a wider spectrum of education, that there are global thinkers that are outside of the transformational leaders and the typical educators that you have at seminars, but people that are more diverse in their thinking that aren't just your empowerment leaders communicating from a product standpoint, but are very deep global thinkers at a high level, Nobel type people, and also one or two of those stars that you hope for. As the company becomes clearer and more has greater clarity in it, then we become more available to opening up our doors to having a few stars be involved, because then the media will know that the company's structure was based on you and not being overshadowed by just a star. So those things are playing out now, Danish, and the top line.
Sounds very exciting. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so, so excited. Charlie, you really created something phenomenal. I'm going to ask you the last question of the night. And for everyone else, after I ask the last question, I want to open up the lines and let me know, Charlie, if this is okay. People didn't really get a chance to say hi to you, and I was just wondering if after the last question I can open up the lines and people can just say hi to you if they like for a couple quick minutes.
Absolutely.
Great. So we'll do that after the last question. And here's the last question. Most people usually end up an interview asking something like, you know, how do you see the next couple of years or the future? But I want to ask it in a particular way. a lot of us have heard about, you know, the Mayan calendar, and a lot of people have been talking about 2012. It's been a big number in lots of different communities and circles. So I was going to ask you, Charlie, how do you see Hub as it approaches 2012, and how do you see Hub after 2012? Give us the before and give us the after.
First of all, I recognize what the world is communicating about regarding 2012. Hub is aware of it. It is not running its business based on it. Hub and I personally have just been invited to join a World Shift 2012 community. This was asked of me through David Wolfson, who's in Toronto. David is on the Millennium Goals Awards up in Toronto for the United Nations. He's also a co-founder of the Club of Budapest, which Peter Gabriel and Irving Laszlo, probably the greatest global thinker of our time, who wrote a white paper on our subject 10 years ago that the Dalai Lama gave his blessings to. And so there is a group gathering on 09-09-09. That group will gather again on 10-10-10. That group will gather again on 11-11-11. And that group will gather again on 12-12-12, which would therefore mean that I have an awareness to it, and I'm happy for Hub to be involved in the community of it. And I think it's early days as to giving a deeper answer to what this looks like then and what it looks like after. We obviously have had dates at times in our recent history that people have looked at and spent a lot of time looking at. I prefer to be aware of it, to allow our community to be involved with it, and at the same time stay very present to the work that we're doing today. But certainly we'll be meeting in London on 09-09-09. National Geographic magazine, which is in a funny position because it's been sponsored for the last 20 or 30 or 40 or 40 years by organizations like Shell and Esso and stuff. So it can't sort of lose its sponsorship structure. But they just have launched a National Geographic green supplement that's going to be a supplement to every National Geographic magazine. And the editor-in-chief of that has just been appointed, is overseeing with David out of the UK the World Shift 12 event, which I'm very, very happy that Hub is going to be part of as a community. What I do see is community coming together on a greater basis. I do see Hub as one of those entities, and so do other people now. But there are many that are out there, not with our model, but with the same focus and the same DNA, the same energy. A lot of them are looking to Hub to actually support them. So I do see us coming together in convergence, regardless of whether one is a network marketer, or whether one is an entity through transformation, or whether one is coming into a community like Hub, or whether one isn't. I do see that date bringing people together inside and outside of the walls of Hub.
Excellent. Inspiring and beautiful as always, Charlie. For anyone who needs those websites again, the main Hub website to learn more about it, become a member, hubhub.org, hubhub.org. Ask the person who invited you to this call or whoever sent you to this recording on a webpage to tell you how to get involved, to hold your hand, and to be your mentor. And to help ask them how you can meet Charlie, or click on events, look at all the upcoming events and be at one of them. We're doing one in Toronto, Saturday, May 30th. Go to hubhub.eventbrite.com. Eventbrite is the Eventbrite word, hubhub.eventbrite.com, and register. We look forward to meeting you. Charlie, you are an awesome man. You are changing the course of history. You are transforming humanity. It's an honor to be your friend, and I love you. Thank you so much for being on this call.
I feel it, Danish. I love you too, and I'm really grateful for everyone that's on this call. Open up the lines. I'm going in a few minutes.